Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 37 for January 2nd, 2015. From the Nut Factory Studios, awaking from our holiday slumber just long enough to give you this show, it's the Weekly Dose of Fat. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Sven, wishing you all a happy new year. Hope you got out on the first and got in a ride to start the fresh year off correctly on your fat bike. This is the second show in our holiday hiatus edition. We're going to have an interview recap with Ned Overend here in just a bit. But first, I want to give thanks to Surly for helping sponsor the show. Here's hoping that the new year brings a little Surly goodness into your life. You can check them out at surlybikes.com. As usual, we've got a list of links in the show notes, including a look back on 2014 from the Coast Kid, a report on the December Fat Bike Randonnée on the Wasatch Front, a Global Fat Bike Day report from Newfoundland, and several other links from our fat bike friends around the world. So, without further ado, here's a recap of our interview with Ned Overend.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Welcome to the show, Ned.
Howdy, guys. Good to be here.
Hey, so Ned, the last time we saw each other, we were sitting in the River's Edge Eatery up there in Cable, Wisconsin, and you had just won the U.S. National Fat Bike Championship at the Fat Bike Berkey. We talked to all the other racers up there, but we just kind of had a little conversation friendly, and we never really talked about the race and the tactics and what happened. Can you give us a little play-by-play how the race panned out from, you know, the attacks and this and that?
Yeah, sure. You bet. And first of all, you know, that was racing in a field like that. I've raced in some smaller races in Colorado, and, you know, where there's only been a handful of competitive guys, you know, like Travis Brown and some of the other local riders who were strong here. So I've never been, you know, I think we started with like 500 racers, and clearly there was an elite group of probably 15 guys who were in that main pack.
Right.
And so I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, I've heard several of those names, obviously, you know, Jesse, and I know also that Jordan Wakely, I think Jesse Lalonde, but I know also that Jordan Wakely had several wins and maybe even considered like the dominant rider in the Midwest.
He's a lumberjack.
And
so
he's much more... yeah, much more competitive than the Colorado series. You know, there are bigger races out there. Anyway, so the first part was kind of about feeling it out. And I think the pace was going pretty good up some of the longer hills in the first couple miles of the race. And that's when it kind of got down to probably about 12 riders, I think, at that point. And then heading out to the turnaround, you know, there were some guys who would throw in some attacks, both Jordan and Jesse, and they would surge, and then the group would catch up to them, but there wasn't several attacks so that people were recovering and getting back on, essentially. It was kind of hard to tell how strong the riders were, you know, whether everyone was just kind of playing a waiting game or whether a lot of those riders were only strong enough to kind of follow those attacks and not counter.
That's interesting, because I know from Jordan and from Jesse that they went out in that first half and they put the pedal to the metal and they wanted to like kind of assert their local dominance on that elite group. And during that time, that first half of the race, one of the Alaskans, Jamie Stull, when I talked to him, he told me that they were talking about themselves. They're like, what's up with Ned? He's squirrely and all over the place because you were sliding and all over the place. So do you think that, were you playing with those guys, or was that because it was little harder conditions and you had shaved off all those knobs off your front tire?
Well, I wasn't playing with the guys, but it's interesting. I thought a bunch of guys were sliding around a little bit. I was kind of, part of that was that I was kind of trying to learn about the track, right? Before I really started, you know, hanging it out and attacking, I was trying to figure out where the traction was. Because I thought those conditions, well, first of all, you know, I've done some fat bike racing, but not near as much as those other guys in that pack, right? Who are from, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin and Alaska.
Sure.
And the conditions that I've raced on here locally are much different than out there. So, for instance, I got there Thursday night, rode the course, and it was fast and pretty predictable, good traction. On Friday, it was frozen rain, and it was almost unrideable. I mean, just going up the hill, it was like a half an inch of ice on the track.
Yeah,
it was, and then Saturday morning, you know, it was pretty good traction, but hard to read because there was a couple inches of snow. It had been freshly packed, so I was kind of searching for traction on different parts of the course and kind of experimenting with how fast I could get around turns and stuff. So I was definitely sliding around a little bit up. So I was trying to get comfortable with it.
Right on. So then after the turnaround at 00, Jordan and Jesse kind of sat up, and that's when you started attacking, right?
Yeah. I figured after the turnaround, there was too many guys in that lead group for me. You know, I'm fitness is my strong point, and I don't have a lot of power at the end of the race. I don't have a lot of speed. So generally, I'm a pretty weak runner. So for sure, having that many guys still in the race was not a good situation for me. So once we got, you know, where I could kind of predict how long it would take to get to the finish, I wanted to kind of thin that pack out. So I started attacking. I mean, I figured it would get down to maybe three or four guys working in a group together, kind of drafting off each other. That was kind of my goal at the time. But when I attacked pretty hard, the pack started to come apart after repeated attacks. And there were some guys in that were going with me, but they didn't seem like they had the strength to like pull through. And I think it was a hard course to draft on anyway.
Sure, it's not a road race.
Yeah, but there's so much turning and it's up and down and, you know, you carry different momentum down the hill than the other guys. So, you know, gaps would open up just when the speed guys were going downhill. So it seemed to me since guys weren't recognizing much of a group to fix me behind that I would just try and solo and see where it went from there. And it's one reason I kept looking back because it was a concerted chase. And it looked like those guys were just going to run me down. Then I probably would have sat up and ridden with the other guys in the break. But it didn't seem like they had an organized chase.
Yeah, both Jordan and Jesse said that they worked too hard on the first half of the race, and they couldn't answer the attacks. The Alaskans seemed to group together, and they protected one rider that ended up coming in third. So it was really an interesting tactical race.
Yeah, it's also too bad that Travis had some technical issues because it would have been cool to see him be able to help out in that front of that group.
Could have been the Colorado group.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I expected Travis to be up there, and I'm not sure what happened with Travis. You know, I think he either started with too low a pressure in his tire. Or the tire may have been leaking.
He had some issues where he went flat, so he lost air during the race. So the
once you have to get up and put air in it, you can't. That pack was going too fast to kind of regain it. It had too much momentum.
So it looks like all indications are that the U.S. National Championship race will again be at the Fat Bike Berkey this year. No official announcement as of now, but I've been pestering them to make an official.
Amy. Amy.
I'm calling Amy.
Amy.
And they have a new race director. But will you be back this year to defend the crown?
Well, probably.
Okay.
It's interesting. I have a different situation with, my job was specialized, say, compared to those other racers.
Sure.
Those other guys who are sponsored racers, I mean, I was out there with other jobs and stuff like that. For sure, they're gonna attempt to be at the most important race of the year. My job with specialized is not as a racer. It's in product development and sports marketing.
Sure.
But I'm in this fat bike advisory group, and those guys, said, well, man, on the high performance end of fat bikes, would love you to do some race. And so I looked at on the calendar, and what are the biggest races that get the most press in the most important areas in the fat bike market? And clearly, that was the Berkey. I mean, it was obvious that was going to be a huge event. So, we will be there. Specialized will definitely be there in some capacity. But since I'm not, my job with them is not to race. I don't have to commit to saying, yes, I'm going to be there, right? Because there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, I trained all winter. I really keyed on that race. And my training went perfectly. I couldn't ask for, a better training situation. The weather here in Durango was right. I could ride the road down in town. And I could drive 45 minutes to the ski area and practice on fat bike stuff. So that's a good combination of fat bike technique and working on road bike fitness down here.
Well, from a fan standpoint,
it's a long way off. It's 4 months off, so that's a definite maybe.
from a fan standpoint, we'd love to see you race again. So in Wisconsin,
absolutely. I read a little bit about you and Travis racing fatties in Colorado. I know there's quite a few series out there. Do you and Travis get out and ride much?
Yeah, we don't. Travis and I are buddies, and we're friends, and we run into each other and have a few beers downtown for sure. And we end up seeing each other at a lot of trail functions. His wife is Mary Monroe, is the manager of Trails 2000, which is our trails group. So I do a bunch of functions with them, and so I see Travis very often. But we do a lot of our training by ourselves, and we both end up riding a lot of prototype equipment that we don't necessarily want the other guy to be
sure.
Taking too close a look at.
Understandable.
Sometimes we'll see each other on the trail, and if someone's riding something, they don't want the other guy to be taking too close a look at. We just have to keep going.
Do you have any favorite Rocky Mountain fat bike races or festivals out that way that our listeners should put on their calendars?
Well, there's some interesting stuff going on. There is a the Fat Bike Summit, which was in, I think it was in Ogden last year.
Yep.
It's going to be in Jackson Hole this year.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that
Sven's
that's
going
to be a big
place.
Deal because they have... they have races there along with, all kinds of manufacturers and test bikes and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be a pretty interesting event. I've never actually been to Jackson Hole
and all my
racing and traveling. So that sounds like it's going to be a cool event.
That's a great town.
Yep, definitely fun. As long as Dick Cheney's out of town.
Well, muchísimas gracias for joining us on the show, Ned. We really appreciate it. Honestly, the reason why we didn't ask you, why I didn't interview you after the race was I was kind of starstruck. So
I was sitting next to him having a beer.
From a fan standpoint, I'm just I'm in heaven here. So thanks.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm excited to be part of this whole fat bike movement. And I think at that race, and afterwards at the restaurant and the award ceremony and stuff, you could tell the vibe reminds me of the mountain bike. A very core group of cyclists that are all about having fun, and they got a great attitude. And I'm excited to see the sport grow and continue to be part of it.
Oh, very cool.
Very, yeah, awesome. Well, thanks again, Ned. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, good talking to you guys.
Take care now.
Hi, this is Eric from Surly. Every time I'm looking for the preferred nomenclature, I listen into Gomez and Sven on Fat Bike Radio. Nomenclature.
Man, it sure is great having a guy like Ned join us on the show. Next week, we'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming. So stay tuned. We've got more fat goodness for you coming up. You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.